Thank you, Brandon. It's beautiful, amen. All morning we've had some beautiful music. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. You know, this was not the sermon I had planned on preaching, but sometimes God's got other plans, amen? And the last couple weeks ago, we looked at the voice in the storm, and God gave me a part two to that message. You know, I love the holidays. I love Thanksgiving and Christmas time. But you know, sometimes holidays can be very hard for people, especially those who have recently lost loved ones. And we've kind of had quite a few that we've lost over the past few weeks. And so God gave me this message. In Acts 27:20, it says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would be lifted up, that you may increase, and the rest of us may decrease. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. I pray that your word would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is on his way to Rome, and his voyage is plagued with problems, poor decisions, bad weather, shipwrecks, even snake bites. Man, that sounds like life. One thing after another. Have you ever been in a storm that never seemed to stop? I mean, the thing just kept on raging. And you know, maybe it wasn't a physical storm, but it was a financial storm. Anyone ever been in a financial storm? Maybe it wasn't a financial storm, but it was an emotional storm or a spiritual storm. And when we find ourselves in these storms, we can be just like these people in Acts 27. It can be easy to lose hope. But you know what? As you're following this story, just when these people are at the point of giving up, hallelujah, that's when God shows up. And so it says, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be what? Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God that I serve and to whom I belong stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar.'" You see, you are not going down in this battle, because God's got bigger battles for you to face. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith. Check this out. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Friends, that's what real faith looks like. In spite of what you're going through, if God said he'll take care of you, then you gotta have faith that it will happen just as he told you. Man, if God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, I have faith that God, it will happen just as he told me. If God said one day there'll be no more death, then I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. If God said, "Behold, I come quickly," I have faith. One day it's going to happen just as he told me. You see, no matter how rough the storm gets in life, and I'm going to tell you, it gets rough, God's going to get you through. God's going to get you through. Verse 21, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, and then you would have saved and spared yourself this damage and loss." Okay, so Paul's human, and so Paul's got to throw out the "I told you so." You know, sometimes parents, we got to throw out the "I told you so." You know, and the reason why people say "I told you so" is because, you see, we've been through that storm. We've been through that storm. We're trying to spare you the damage and loss that we had to experience. I know you're 18 and just a wellspring of knowledge. But maybe, just maybe, I've been in that storm. Maybe I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And so you got to throw out the "I told you so" sometimes. So Paul has faith. Paul has faith, but Paul is still frustrated. Faith is God is going to spare us. He's going to deliver us. Frustration, it didn't have to be this hard. Did you know that faith is not an exemption from frustration? Yeah, just because you have faith. In fact, faith is a guarantee there's going to be moments in your life when you're going to be frustrated. And so he says, you should have taken my advice. You should have listened to me. I told you not to date that person. I told you not to mess around with that stuff. I told you, you know, you should have taken my advice and you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. You see, listening to God does not guarantee smooth sailing, but it does guarantee a whole lot less damage and loss. Amen. Yeah, God can save you divorced and broke and under a bridge with nothing, but he also could have saved you married at home with a little bit of something. Paul's captive on a boat for preaching the gospel. Don't automatically think that because you are going through a storm right now, you did something wrong. Paul is in a storm because he did something right. And this idea that if I live a good life and I'm a part of the church, nothing too bad will ever happen to me. Ridiculous. Think about it. Jesus was the most morally upright person who ever walked the earth, and yet he lived a life filled with poverty, rejection, injustice, and even torture. Paul is in a storm because of someone else's dumb decision. Anyone here ever been in a storm because of someone else's dumb decision? There's two honest people here today. And yet God can still use other people's dumb decisions in order to get us to our destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 8:28, you know it. For those who love God, all things. How many things? All things work together for good for those who called according to his purpose. Now that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good. And that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is from God. What that's saying is God can use everything, even bad things, in order to get you to where he wants you to be. He can take bad things and flip them on the devil and bring good stuff out of it. When Joseph is confronted by his backstabbing brothers, you know, during our children's story, I thought of Cain and Abel, and I thought of the other, you know, Joseph and his brothers. You know, he's confronted by him, and in Genesis 50:20, he says this. It's such a powerful statement. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for what?" So which is it? Is it good or is it evil? And the answer is, it's both. It's both. Basically, it didn't have to happen. God didn't cause the pain. The storm you are in didn't have to be this rough, and yet God can still use that storm from your poor decisions, and he can still use it to get you into glory, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, this is why I always tell church folk, don't waste time looking for a reason. We spend way too much time looking for, why am I in this storm? Why is God letting me go through this storm? Why not? And so instead of looking for a reason, we need to change our thinking, and we got to start looking for a revelation. Amen. Throughout the Bible, when people ask for a reason they're in the storm, God never gives them the reason. He only gives them a revelation of himself. God did not give John a reason he was on Patmos on a prison island. No, God instead gave him something better, a revelation. God did not give Stephen a reason that he was ordained as a deacon. A few days later, he's stoned to death. He gives Stephen something better, a revelation. God did not give Elisha's servant a reason they were surrounded by the enemy. He gave him something better, a revelation of his power. God did not give Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a reason they were thrown into the furnace. He gave them something better, a revelation. You see, I've discovered something in life. I don't need a reason the storm is raging. I just need to know that God is by my side. Stop looking for a reason. Ask God to give you a revelation. Acts 27, powerful revelation here. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. You need to know right now, every storm you've ever been in, your angel has been standing beside you. You know what? We're often like, you know, we're going to be happy when we get to heaven. You know who else is going to be happy when you get to heaven? Your angel's going to be happy when you get to heaven. It's the first break. The first 1,000 years, I think that God's going to give the angels off. Putting up with me. My angel is going to get some extra something for putting up with me. Your angels are beside you. And I've discovered something. This is why sometimes God will let the storm happen to you. This is why God has to let the storm come into your life. Acts 27, 26, that's what Paul tells this group. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. You see, some of us have to hit that rock wall. Some of us have to hit that brick wall. Some of us have to hit that dead end. Because until Jesus steps in to save you, you will never lean on him as though he is your savior. You'll keep going to yourself, or you'll keep going to your bank, or you'll keep going to your brains for your own solution. Hate to break it to you, your brains aren't big enough. Your bank account isn't fat enough. And so God will let the storm come. Acts 27, 11. It says, check this out, the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to Paul. So instead of listening to God through Paul, they listened to the professional. And let me be clear. I have the utmost respect for all the professionals in the church today. Professionals are good, but God is great. All professionals can do is treat some symptoms. Man, I got a God who can actually solve the problems. I've discovered in life, there's a lot of idiots with degrees. Professionals are good, but God is great. And so this guy, this centurion, he listens to the professionals, and we often want to listen to the professionals. Man, start listening to the God who made the professionals. Make sure you always listen to God before the professional so it can save you a whole lot less damage and loss. And so these people, they survive. God told them, not one of you will perish. And they all survive. But it says that the boat doesn't survive. They lose all of their stuff. FYI, God's really not that worried about your stuff. He's worried about you. Yeah, God's not really that concerned with your stuff. He's concerned about you. He ain't coming back for the stuff. He's coming back for you. He's going to burn the stuff up. Just make sure he don't burn you up with it. Not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. You see, that's the kind of salvific power of my God. Not a single hair. He cares about the hairs on your head. In life, you're going to lose some stuff, friends. Yeah, in life you're going to lose some stuff. Some of us have lost marriages. Some of us are going to lose marriages. We're going to lose some stuff in life. Some of us have lost jobs. You know, some of us have lost a little respect. Some of us have had times where we've lost some patience. Every single one of us have lost something. You know, all of us are losing a little bit of hair. Some are losing it at a little faster rate than some of us. We all lose some stuff. I want you to think of the past few weeks, man. We've lost some dear friends and family. You know, it seemed like over the course of just a few days, it was one after the other. And the storm kept coming. Think of the people in Paradise, California. Many of their homes gone. They've lost their homes. But friends, this is what I want you to understand today. That in midst of the storm, there is nothing you can lose in this life that you won't get back in the next life, just better. You get the new and improved model in heaven. So you get your body back, but this time without the arthritis. You get your brains back, but this time without the Alzheimer's disease. You get everything back, but better this time. The Bible tells us all of all he has given me. Check this out. I should lose nothing, but will raise it up at that last day. Romans 8, 35, 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress or persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall danger, or shall a sword, shall abuse, shall divorce, shall disease? No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, the storm may keep coming, but hallelujah, Jesus is going to keep on saving. The storm is going to keep on coming, but Christ is going to keep on overcoming. Acts 28:1, after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. I did a little bit of research on this, and did you know that Malta means refuge? It's not a coincidence. You see, God doesn't prevent bad stuff from happening. God will not keep the storm from happening, but he always provides a refuge. God will always provide a refuge. Did you know that this church, Bowman Hills, is called to be a refuge? Did you know that this church is to be a hospital for broken people who have been wrecked by the waves of life? Which means people should be safe in here from the nonsense out there. Now, people should find a refuge from the gossip in here. People should find a refuge from the judgmentalism of the world in here. This place should be a safe place from the storm that is out there in the world. As you continue following this, it says the native people showed us what kind of kindness? For they kindled a fire and they welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. Check this out. What Paul says about these natives, people should say about Christians. It says they were unusually kind. Now, I've heard the word unusual connected to Adventists in many other ways. But not always they were unusually kind. Man, I want this church to be known for being unusually kind. The Bible says they even build a fire in order to warm the people. Man, Bowman Hills should be the warmest place in the entire city of Cleveland. And people should come in here and they should be walking out the door saying, man, I know there is a God up in heaven because of how nice those people were. And the nice does not stop at the door. It continues into every avenue of the person's life. It's not just the greeting. It's everything from the beginning to the end and throughout the entire week. Unusual kindness. Man, Paul's on this island because of a storm that wrecked his ship. I want you to think about it. Paul is in a place he had not planned on. Has anyone here ever found themselves in a place they had not planned on? In your life, you are going to end up in places that you did not plan on. And I want to tell you today, it's an island called Malta. Paul is on an island he had not planned for. It was called Malta. When you said in sickness and in health, in prosperity and adversity, you never planned on getting served divorce papers. You're on Malta. You know, you were a vegetarian your whole life, and you never thought you would be in the doctor's office getting the bad diagnosis. You're on Malta. You know, you never planned on raising your grandkids. You never planned on turning 30 and still being single. You never planned on having to drop out of college. You see, Malta is a lonely, cold, and it is an unexpected place. Every one of us have been to Malta. And check it out, just when you don't think it can get any worse, it does. Acts 28:3. Man, you can't make this stuff up. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. The storm keeps going. Quick review. Paul's imprisoned for doing the right thing, preaching the gospel. He's shipwrecked because people don't want to listen to him. He's cold and he's marooned on an unexpected island called Malta. And now a snake bites him. Anyone here ever had a day like that? Come on now. Anyone here ever had a week like that? Just when Paul thinks the storm is over, a snake comes out and bites him. You see, when you got baptized, you thought the storm was over. And then the snake bit you. Yeah, you thought, oh, when you started dating that person, you thought the storm was over. But then that snake bit you. And I'm not talking about a literal snake, you know that. I'm talking about what David talked about in the psalmist in 143, he says, they make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Anyone here ever been bit by an asp? Asp. And notice, the snake didn't just strike him. The Bible says that it fastened onto him. So it's hanging from him. I wonder, has something fastened onto you today? Maybe it's a habit that you just cannot seem to shake. Maybe it's a resentment, or it's a disappointment, or it's a past decision, or it's something someone has said, and no matter what you do, man, you can't shake it. Acts 28:4, it says, when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, I mean, imagine this, picture this. They said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Isn't this just like people? No doubt he is a murderer. Did you hear so-and-so broke up? Oh, he must have cheated on her. Oh, he made his bed. Now he's going to sleep in it. Oh, she got what's coming to her. I mean, we're just like these people. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But check this out, next verse. Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was what? Unharmed. Hallelujah. Friends, I want you to know today, you are coming out of your storm and you're coming out of it unharmed. And they were waiting for him, notice, to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and they said, he's got to be from God. I wonder, how do you respond to the snake bites of life? How do you respond when people mistreat you or say something to you that hurts you? What do you do when things don't go your way? I wonder today, do you respond or do you react? Notice Paul didn't get on his pity pot about the snake. Paul didn't post it on Facebook. Please, folks. Don't post it on Facebook. He doesn't post about it. He didn't get on his pity pot. He doesn't throw up his hands. Oh, woe is me. I just got out of a storm. I was just shipwrecked, and now a snake bit me on the hand. No, what did Paul do? The Bible says he shook it off. You want to know the secret to surviving your storms and your snake bites? You got to shake that stuff off. You got to shake it off. I get it. That person hurts you. Now shake it off. I get it. Somebody offended you. Shake it off. You were mistreated. Shake it off. Someone disappointed you? Well, I'm sure you haven't disappointed a few people in your day too. Shake it off. But you know what? Sometimes, like Paul's viper, that thing latches on, man. It doesn't just bite them. The Bible says it latches on. And when it really latches on in those moments, you got to keep on shaking. You got to shake it until it's no longer affecting your worship. You got to shake it until you're no longer allowing it to hurt your relationships. You got to shake it until you're no longer losing sleep over it. I want you to shake off the resentment. I want you to shake off the past. I want you to shake off the sin. I want you to shake off the condemnation. Because Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, then there is nothing anyone can say about you. You shake that off. There should be a whole lot of shaking going on in the church today. Come on now. Don't you dare leave this place with something still hanging from your heart. Don't you dare leave this place with something still hanging. And you know, you'll notice Paul didn't hold on to the snake. And yet some of us here are holding on to pain in the past, resentments like they're our pets. It's not even latched onto you anymore. You've latched yourself onto it. You won't let it go. Snake's been trying to get away from you from weeks ago. You won't let it go. But the snake, this is what you don't understand. It's killing you. It's poison. And you got to let it go. I don't care what the pastor did that offended you. I don't care what the elder said to offend you. Let that snake go. And check it out. When the people saw him shake it off, they changed their mind about Paul. When they saw him shake it off, they changed what they had thought about God. They believed that he was from God now. Seventh-day Adventist Christians, you need to know that people are watching you. Parents, your children are watching you, and they're learning from you how to be dedicated to God. You are hit and miss in church. Why are you surprised when your kids grow up to be hit and miss in church? And you know what? Sometimes you never miss church and your kids still end up being hit and miss in the church because you know what? The storms do not discriminate. But the bottom line is your children are watching you. When you declared yourself a Sabbath keeper, I can guarantee you your neighbors, your coworkers, they all started watching you. They want to see how a Sabbath keeper keeps the Sabbath. The people you work with, friends, they're watching you. I wonder today if your life is worth watching. Yeah, well, I mean, what if Facebook Live just sort of followed you around for the day and you didn't know it? I wonder, would your life be worth watching? I wonder, what would they see? Well, the Bible says about Paul, they changed their minds. Check it out. The way you respond to the storms of life can change what someone thinks about God. Yeah, someone might have thought that God was condemning and was mean, but now they've met this church and they know that he is a God of love. Maybe someone was getting ready to give up on life, but then they met you, and now they want to give it another try. I want to live the kind of life that people change their minds about their situation. I want people to have met members of Bowman Hills and say, you know what, I want to give that church another try. I want to give God another try. I want people to change their minds about their situation. I really can make it. I really can shake it. I can live a new life because if it happened to Richie, it can happen to me. If God got a hold of Richie Halverson, God can get a hold of you. As you read this story, you can't help but think, man, thank goodness Paul was on board, right? That's the first thing that came to my mind. When I travel, I want to be with someone like Paul. I want people to think the same thing about Christians. Thank goodness Bowman Hills is in Cleveland. You know, I want my kids to think, thank goodness he's my dad. I want my wife to think, thank goodness I married Richie. Not what in the world was I thinking? Which I've probably gotten more than a few times in my life. And I don't blame her a bit. This is what I'm getting at. The storm was better because Paul was on board. The world should be a better place because Christians are in it. Amen. Your job should be a better place to work in because you're there. Amen. Acts 28:7. Now in the neighborhood of that place, where the place of those lands were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for how many days? Interesting. Acts 28:8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and checked this out, prayed for him and checked this out, and put his hand on him. You still don't get it. Put his hand on him, healing him. I want you to think about this. Had Paul never been in that storm, had Paul never been shipwrecked and marooned on Malta, had Paul never had the snake bite him, he never would have had all these opportunities to witness. The same hand that the snake bit, Paul's now using to bless. The hand that bit by a snake, which should have killed Paul, is now being used by Paul to save someone. Check it out. The same hand that had a snake hanging from it now has power flowing from it. Now you know why the storms keep coming. You may not understand why you got to go through what you're going through right now, but I want you to know this right now in this place. One day God's going to use it to touch someone else. God is saying to each of us, I want to take your pain from this past year and I want to turn it into a source of healing for this next year for someone else. He's saying, I want to take the pain from your poor decision and I want to use it to keep someone from making that same poor decision. I want to use the hand that you used to sin with and I want to use it to save somebody else with. Luke 22, this is ultimately what Christ tells Peter. The rascal of rascals. I can relate to Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But like Peter, when your faith does fail, not if your faith fail, when your faith fails, when you get knocked off course and you get marooned on a lonely place called Malta and you got fresh serpent bite marks on your arms, when you have repented and you've turned back to me again, I want you to use that experience of failure and loss and pain, and I want you to strengthen your brothers with it. Verse 7 says it was 3 days from the snake bite to when the man was healed. I don't believe that's a coincidence, because nothing in this Bible is by accident. It was 3 days from the snake bite to when this man was healed. Genesis 3:15, friends, you see a fight between a snake and a woman throughout from Genesis to Revelation. And in the very beginning, the moment we messed up and our storm first started, God said to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you see this woman and dragon fighting each other. But God promised, in that messianic promise, he says, you will strike his heel, but he's going to use that same heel to crush your head. Don't you see? The heel that was bit was the same heel that crushed the devil's head. In order for Jesus to crush the serpent's head, he had to be willing to get bit. Hallelujah. What the enemy thought he could have used to defeat Christ with, Christ now uses to defeat him with. 3 days after the snake bite, Jesus, 3 days after the snake bit Jesus on the cross, Jesus stepped out of the tomb and onto the dragon's head. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't need a reason, church, if we have a revelation. You don't need to know why the storm keeps going. You just need to know that God is by your side. Jesus has declared to each of us here, I have said these things to you, so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble after trouble. You're going to have storm after storm. But I want you to take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't you see? Jesus died so that you may know that even if you die in this life, one day you will live again. Jesus was completely betrayed by the ones that he loves so that you will never, ever, I don't care if everybody left you on this earth, you will never be totally betrayed because God has got your back. Jesus died alone on a cross so that you will never, ever, in spite of how you feel, you will never be alone. So that you may know that as the storm keeps going, hallelujah, Jesus is with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, as we come to the end of a year closer, and we often think, well, things are going to be better next year. But you know what? Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they get tougher. Just because we celebrate certain holidays doesn't mean it doesn't take the pain and the heartache of current life away. But we know that no matter how much the storm keeps raging, we have a God who will never leave our side. That has already defeated the harshest storms of life so that we may get tossed back and forth a little bit, but the storm will not overwhelm us. The storm will not drown us because we are held up by your righteous right hand. Lord, I pray in this place that each person here may know that in every storm there is the voice of the Lord. Whatever they're going through, they may know that God's been there. Jesus has been there. He's done that, and he's already defeated the enemy. So keep holding on. Keep clinging to Christ. That today will be the day of salvation. Today will be the day that we, each of us will decide, I'm going 100% all in with you, God. And that we will leave here as new creations in Christ Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.